Okay, so we saw a gewaltiger shtickle Gemara yesterday. Let's just briefly recap and then we move on. We were discussing somebody who is makdish the hair of an eved, and now the hair is ready to be cut off. It's about to be cut off, and the question is, do we consider it as still attached to the guf of the eved, or do we consider it as if it's already been severed? What's the difference? If we consider it attached to the eved has a status of a karka, in which case you'd need 10 to evaluate the hair if you want it to be poideh. If, however, we consider the hair to be cut off already, well, then it's not part of the eved. It's a regular metaltelin, a movable object, in which case you would need 3 evaluators. That was the shaila. So the Gemara suggested, and this is really the conclusion, that we have found the identical same machlokes, the absolute same machlokes, where that is with regard to me'ila. The principle is always that there is no issa of me'ila on karka. And we had a machlokes, if somebody is makdish his eved, is there an issa me'ila on his hair, which is a machlokes between a Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon. The Tanna Kamma said there is no me'ila on an eved whatsoever. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says there is me'ila at least with regard to the hair. Says the Gemara, that's the machlokes. We're talking about hair which is about to be severed. If you hold it's still considered part of the guf, well then, if the eved himself has the status of karka, so does the hair, so there's no me'ila. And if you consider it cut off, then it's metaltelin, and there is me'ila. Well, if we bring that back to our machlokes, our question, that would therefore pass on the shaila. If you hold that it's cut off, it's metaltelin, and you would need 3 evaluators. And if you hold it's still considered part of the eved, eved is karka, so is the hair, and therefore you'd need 10 evaluators. So therefore, in summary, we really have one shaila with 2 ramifications. The one shaila is the hair still considered part of the guf, or is it considered to be cut off? The 2 ramifications are, number one, with regard to, do you need 3 evaluators or 10? And number two, with regard to, is there an issa me'ila or not? So at the end of yesterday's shiur, Reb Larry asked, there be a fair comparison to a tree that had fruit, or at least fruit that was about to be harvested. So maybe one could suggest that we can draw a comparison over here. And that if you have fruit which technically are attached to the tree, but they're about to either drop off or be taken off, so maybe then we can also discuss, are these fruits considered to be part of the tree or not? And we'll see there's ramifications. And this, in fact, is what the Gemara is about to discuss now. So have a look at the Gemara. When it's the first line, the first word on the line is Shema Mino, and it says as follows: Neima, let us suggest. Now, we always point this out. Whenever it says Neima, we always know that it's going to be disproved. Neima means let's suggest, but it's going to fall through, it's going to be disproven. So says the Gemara, Neima, let us perhaps suggest, Hani Tanoi Kahani Tanoi. Let us suggest that the Tanoim we have just mentioned, meaning the Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and their machloikas, let's suggest that that really is the identical machloikas to the one they're about to suggest now. Again, if we say Neima Katanoi, let us suggest, it means it's a suggestion, but it's going to be disproven. Okay, so let's have a look. Says the Gemara de Tanan, we have the following Mishnah. This Mishnah appears in Bava Metzia, amongst other places. Reb Meir Oimer, Reb Meir says, Yesh Dvorim, there are certain things, Shehein Kakarka, Ve'enon Kakarka. There are certain things that are like karka, but they are not like karka. So they have some dual or quasi status. At the moment, very cryptic. Ve'ein chachomim moedim loy. But the chachomim, however, did not agree to Rav Meir. So Rav Meir is referring to something, we're not sure what, that has karka status and non-karka status. And whatever it is that they were referring to, the Gemara says the chachomim did not agree. What's going on? Ketzer. How so? Says the Gemara, Eser Gefanim. Now, we need to make a brief introduction. We all know, I think we've bumped into this on more than one occasion, in fact, earlier on in the Masechta, there is a famous halacha min ha-Torah of Moide b'miktzas. If I claim you owe me $100, if you admit it, you have to pay. If you deny the whole thing, min ha-Torah, you do not have to pay. And what happens if you admit part and you deny part? So of the 100 being claimed, I say, well, I admit I owe you 75, but the other 25 I deny. So obviously, the 75 that I admit to, I've got to pay. The 25 that I'm denying, I've got to make a shvur. I've got to take an oath. This is an oath min ha-Torah, and this is what's called moed b'miktzas. I've got to hereby swear that the 25 being claimed, I do not owe. This halacha applies not only to money. If I claim that you owe me $100 and you admit to 80, or the same would be if I claim you owe me 10 apples and you admit to 7 of them. The same halacha would apply. You owe me 10 apples and you say to me, well, 7 I admit, but 3 I deny. So the 7 you have to pay, and the 3 you've got to take an oath that you don't owe. That's the rule. What's the exception to the rule? Karaka. If I claim from you that you see those 10 trees in the garden there, in your garden, they belong to me. You sold me those trees. They're my trees. And you say to me, excuse me, it's not 10. 7 of them, I admit, are yours, but 3 I deny. So again, that's a classic made of a miktas, but there is no shvur. Why is there no shvuah? We learn this from a posuk. There is no shvuah regarding karkois. That's the introduction. With that in mind, we now have to consider a case which is like karka and not like karka. Says the Gemara, Ketzad. What's the case? Eser gefanim, 10 vines. Mosar tuunois. Tuunois means they were laden. So it's not just the trees, but they were laden with grapes. They were laden with grapes. Mosarati lecho, I hand it to you. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean I hand it over physically, but for example, I put them in your charge. So I claim that there are 10 vines laden with grapes, which you seem to be showing ownership over. But actually, they're mine. I gave them to you perhaps to look after. But they belong to me. All 10 vines with the grapes attached. And he now responds and he says, Einon elo homesh. Sorry, it's not 10, it's 5. So this is a classic moed b'miktzas. I admit to 5 out of 10. The other 5, I deny. So the question is going to become now, let's not focus for a moment on the tree. What about the grapes? If I would say to you, you owe me 10 clusters of grapes, and you would admit to 5 and deny 5, will that be a classic way to mix us? So you've got to obviously pay me the 5, and then the other 5, you've got to make a shvur. Over here, we've got grapes, that's true, but they're attached to a tree.
Attached to the tree.
And if these grapes are about to be cut off, doesn't this once again bring us back to the central question? How do we view, in the first case, hair, now fruit, which technically is attached to the tree? So if technically it's attached to the tree and the tree obviously has the status of karka, well then perhaps the grapes also have the status of karka, in which case there would be no shvua of Moed Mikzas, because there's no shvua on karka. Or perhaps, no, perhaps by virtue of the fact that these grapes are about to be cut off, so I no longer view them as part and parcel of the tree, and they're considered to be detached. Well, if they're considered to be detached, it means they would have the status of metaltalin. So in which case, there should be a shvua. And guess what? It's a machlekas. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Meir Mechayev. Rebbe Meir is Mechayev. So why is Rebbe Meir Mechayev a shvua? Clearly he holds that these grapes, even though physically, technically they are attached to the tree, but I consider as if they are already detached. In which case, this is Moida B'miktas, not on karka, but rather Moida B'miktas on metaltalin. V'chachomim oimrim. And the Chachomim say, we disagree. No. Kol hamachuber lekarka, anything which is attached to the karka, harehu kakarka. As far as I'm concerned, very nice that they may well be detached in the future, but at the moment they are attached to the karka, so they have the status of karka. And if they have the status of karka, you cannot make a shvur. The Omar Reb Yosi Bar Chanina, and Reb Yosi Chanina now adds one more line of explanation. Ba'anovim, we are talking about grapes ha'oimdois libotzer that stand harvested, askinon we are dealing with. So that extra line is critical. That means it's an absolute parallel to our case. In the previous case, we spoke about hair that's reached sufficient length to now consider it fit to be cut off. Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina says that's exactly what we're talking about in the case of the grapes as well. We're talking about grapes that are on the verge of being harvested, in which case, Mar Sovar, one opinion says, Kibbutzurois Damyan. What does it mean, Kibbutzurois? It is as if they have already been harvested. That's obviously the opinion of Rebbe Meir. And that's why Rebbe Meir says, even though technically you're right, I don't disagree, of course, they are still attached to the tree. But because they're about to be harvested, I consider as if they already are. And if they already are harvested, therefore this is not karka. And what do the Chachamim say? Says the Gemara, Umar Sova, Lav Kibbutzurois Damyan, period. That he says, no. The Chachamim say, all very nice that they're about to be cut off, but at the moment that we're discussing, they are not yet cut off. And if they're not yet cut off, so what status do they have? They absolutely have status of karka. And if they have status of karka, then we go back to the rule. There is no shvua concerning karka. That is the machloikas between Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim. Now, what's that got to do with our sugya, l'chayra, everything? Because we had a machloikas before with regard to the hair of an eved. And there too, talking about hair which was about to be cut off. And we had a machloikas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon. Do we consider as if, ki'ilu, it's already been cut off or no? With the ramification being with regard to me'ila. So it's true. In our case, we're not discussing Me'ila, we're not discussing Hekdesh, we're discussing a totally different halacha, which is Moida B'miktas. But the principle is the same. We have a machloikas. Do we consider the grapes that are about to be harvested as if they have already been harvested or not? That would l'chayra absolutely parallel. Do I consider hair that's attached to the head of the Eved, which is about to be cut off, do I consider it as if it has already been severed or not? And that's what the Gemara meant in the first line. Hani tanoi, kehani tanoi. Those first tanoim discussing the hair of an Eved would seem absolutely to parallel the second set of Tanoim who are discussing the grapes on a tree. Rabbi Larry?
I think the case is a little different because inherently hair is not usually sold. Hair is part of the goof. But the whole purpose of the tree and the grapes is to grow the grapes and sell them. The grape from the day the tree is born, the grapes that sprout already have their own identity. So it's not like, you know, most of the time the grapes, and if you happen to, you know, so then
the hair is also definitely going to be cut off. Whether forget what it's going to be used for. The hair,
yeah, but,
from the very first minute, you know, you're not going to leave it forever. It definitely stands to be
hair.
Cut off.
But the hair?
Yep.
Yeah, but it's not for anything.
Usage is not irrelevant. We're talking about whether it's considered attached or not. So is it standing to be detached? Absolutely. Nobody keeps their hair on forever. This Eved doesn't want to walk around like a Nazi. This Eved has a haircut once every month, once every 2 months. He's definitely going to remove the
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, but you don't grow hair to cut it off. You grow grapes to cut it off. That's the whole purpose of growing.
Who cares whether you grow it or HaKadosh Baruch Hu grows it? Either way, it's growing, and it's definitely going to be cut off. What I use it for afterwards, whether I grow it or the farmer grows it, we'll see. The Gemara does differentiate between the cases. Let's have a look in a moment. But before that, let's have a look at Rashi. If you remember, the Gemara began with this cryptic sounding line, but now we understand it. How did the Gemara begin? The Gemara began by saying there are some things which are like karaka, but they're not like karaka. Well, now we understand what it means. On the one hand, they are like karaka. Why? Because physically they're attached. But they're not like karaka because I consider as if they're not attached. So have a look at Rashi. It's exactly what Rashi says. Says Rashi, Dvorim shehein kekarka, mechuborim lekarka. On the one hand, yes, they are attached physically to the ground. On the other hand, ve'enon kekarka. On the other hand, I consider as if they are not karka. Why? Elokim metaltelin. I'm going to consider them as if they were metaltelin. Why am I considering as if they were metaltelin? Because they're about to be cut off. That's what that cryptic line is. Sorry?
What is metaltelin?
Movable objects, as opposed to karka, as opposed to land. So therefore, that's what it means. On the one hand, technically, they are absolutely like karaka because nobody can deny that they are physically attached to the ground. On the other hand, I'm going to give them metaltelin status because they're about to be cut off. Remeya Mechayev, says Rashi, Lishoba, to take an oath al hashar on the remaining vines. Remember, he claimed five, he claimed 10. He admitted five and denied five. And Rav Meir says, you've got to take an oath on the remaining five. Lishova al-Hashar, he's got to take an oath on the remaining part. Shehoide miktsas atayna. Because he has admitted to part of the claim, therefore he is the classic Moide b'miktsas. Afalgav, says Rashi, even though de'ein nishpoin ala karkois, even though we have a principle that you do not take an oath with regard to karka, kidi alfinon, as we learn out from Apostle b'shvuas adayonin, bahocha, over here is different. Kiven de'ein srichin lekarka, seeing as they need the karaka. Why do they no longer need the karaka? Because they stand to be harvested, so clearly they're not drawing any nutrients anymore. The tree is not contributing anymore. As Rabbi Yossi b'Chanina explains, that we are talking about a very specific scenario in which the fruit are about to be cut off. That's how Rabbi Yossi b'Chanina explained Liplukte the Machlekes. If that's the case, Kibbutz Zura is Damyan. Therefore, even though, of course, physically they are attached to the ground, but I consider as if they are already harvested and therefore Venishboin. Therefore, there can be an oath. So the Gemara is drawing what seems to be a very reasonable parallel. Hair, which is about to be cut off from the head, which means it doesn't need to be attached anymore. Fruit that is about to be detached from the tree. So Larry is suggesting that, one second, is that really a fair comparison? If you're telling me it's a fair comparison, then indeed, the first Machlokes Tanoim equals the second Machlokes Tanoim. Remember, we're actually discussing different halachic ramifications. That's true. But the principle is the same. Who cares whether we're discussing whether you need three evaluators or 10, or whether we're discussing is there me'ila or not, or whether there's a shvua on Ma'id b'miktsas? It's true, it's three separate, unrelated halachic discussions, but it's all based on one principle. Says the Gemara, look back into the Gemara, one word, law. Okay, so we said before, when the Gemara says neima, you can be rest assured that the Gemara is going to backtrack, and here it is. Loi, sorry, it's an unfair comparison. And it is not at all conclusive. We have no raya, therefore, that the second Machlokes Tanoim is the same as the first Machlokes Tanoim, because the Gemara says you can make a difference. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, I'll explain to you, there's a fundamental difference between grapes about to be detached from a tree, as opposed to hair, which is about to be detached from the goof. What's the difference? Says the Gemara. Afilu tema Rabbi Meir. Even if you tell me you want to go with Rabbi Meir's opinion. Now remember, what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir was the one who said that these grapes, albeit attached to the vine, but we consider as if they are detached. We consider as if they are detached. So what's the comparison we're trying to draw? If Reb Meir considers the grapes detached, wouldn't he also consider the hair as detached? Says the Gemara, no. Because even if you follow the opinion of Reb Meir, but Reb Meir was only talking about grapes, not about hair. What on earth is the difference between grapes and hair? Does the Gemara explain? Afilu tamer Reb Meir. Ad kan loy koma Reb Meir hosam. Reb Meir only said his principle over there. Where's there? With regard to grapes on a vine, that's when he said that by virtue of the fact that they're about to be detached, I consider as if they already are. What's so unique about that case? So here comes the difference. Kol kama de shovka, because as long as you leave them on the tree, ad kama de shovka luhu, if you leave them there, mikhash kachashi, they actually get weaker and they begin to spoil. Aval sa'aroi, but the hair, kol kama deshov kilohu, as long as you leave them there, the hair doesn't spoil. To the contrary, the hair just continues growing. Ashbuchi meshabeach, it will just continue to improve. So what's the difference that the Gemara is now making? Yes, both of them are attached to something that we consider karka. Yes, both of them are at the point that they're about to be detached. Do I consider as if they are already detached? That's where the comparison ends. In the case of the fruit, I am more inclined to consider them as if they are already detached. Why? Because the tree has nothing to give it anymore. To the contrary, we know that once a fruit becomes ripe, if it doesn't fall off the tree, it'll begin to spoil and get moldy. So the tree has nothing to give it anymore, and in fact is only detrimental for it. That's where Reb Meir says, if that's the case, I'm sorry, I don't see any connection anymore between the tree and the fruit. Mashein kein, in the case of the goof of the Eved and his hair, it's true he's happened to decide he's booked himself an appointment at the barber shop because he wants to cut off his hair. It's true. But not because the hair needs to be cut off. Rather, he wants to cut it off. But if he doesn't cut it off, what will happen to the hair? It will begin to spoil? No, not at all. It will just consider growing, it will continue growing very nicely. Well, if that's the case, says Reb Meir, you cannot necessarily say over there that the hair is considered detached. As long as it's attached to the goof, and the goof is contributing, because it will continue growing. So I look at the now and then, not at tomorrow. Tomorrow you're going to cut it off, that's true. But at the moment it's not. Whereas in the case of the fruit, even the now and then, the tree has nothing to give to it. That's why I consider it detached.
I think you could go even further, because if the longer the hair stays on the goof, the more value it has, because it's longer, it's more quantity.
Right, that's what the Gemara says. Ashpuchi, it becomes improved. So not just it doesn't become spoiled, it actually becomes improved. It's longer hair, becomes stronger, it's longer, it's more useful. So therefore, to suggest that the first Tanoim is identical to the second Tanoim, I'm sorry, the comparison was not a fair one. Reb Meir may well say that even though I consider the fruit to be detached, but I may well consider the hair to be attached. Now, we need to see a Rashi. But let me just ask everybody here, do you agree with me that even though this differentiation makes very good sense, and Reb Meir may well distinguish between fruit on a tree and hair on a head? But let's go back a moment to the first Machlokes. There is an opinion that says that the hair, because it's about to be cut off, is considered as if it has already been cut off. What would that opinion hold about fruit? What would he say about fruit?
Just repeat that opinion again, I'm sorry.
According to the first opinion that says the hair on the Eved's head, if it's about to be cut off, we consider as if it is already cut off, with all the halachic ramifications. What would that particular opinion say about fruit on the tree?
It's the same.
So it's as if it was cut.
It's as if it's about to be cut off.
Right.
In other words, it's a kal v'chomer. If already hair, which is attached to the head, then we've just explained that there's nothing wrong with keeping it on the head. In fact, it's advantageous for the hair to be attached to the head. And nonetheless, by virtue of the fact that I'm planning to cut it off, I consider it cut off. Well, all the more so, in the case of fruit, definitely, because it's detrimental to be on the tree, obviously, I would consider that cut off. So that particular opinion is conclusive. All the Gemara was saying is that the other way round is not conclusive. Reb Meir, who holds that the case of the fruit on the tree is considered to be cut off, wouldn't necessarily say the same in the case of the hair. Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, loy. Loy, I'm sorry, I don't agree with your comparison. Why? Ho samba anovim. Over there in the case of grapes, kol kamo deshovkut luhu, as long as you leave the grapes there, mikhashi kachashi, they become weaker and weaker. It's just a downward trend. In which case, the tree has nothing to contribute to the fruit, and that's why Reb Meir is more than happy to consider as if I've already cut it off, because I don't see any connection. I don't see the fact they happen to be stuck to each other. That doesn't mean there's a connection. Okay. Avol sa'aroi, but in the case of the hair attached to the Eved's head, ashbuchi mashpach. There the hair, loshen of mashabeach, improve. Over there, it's continuing to improve. Hilkoch, therefore, afilu Reb Meir. Therefore, even Reb Meir, who says in the case of fruits that I consider it detached, but Basar, in the case of hair, he may well agree, Karabonon spherely. He may well agree to the Rabbonon that we consider the hair not to be detached. It's still considered part of the goof. It's true. I'm planning on cutting it off because aesthetically speaking, I'd rather cut it off. But that doesn't mean that the goof is detrimental to the hair. So over there, as long as you haven't physically cut it off, I'll still consider it attached. Now, I just want to, we're running out of time, but just to bring a very practical ramification to this. This is halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa. We have a whole parasha, as we know, of chatzitza. Chatzitza. So if somebody needs to go into the mikveh, either because they're a goy and they want to convert, or somebody who is tomei and they want to become pure, so they need to go into the mikveh. The whole purpose of the tefillah is to make sure that the mayim, every drop of mayim, is attached to the guf. If there is a foreign item on the guf, then the tefillah is no longer a valid tefillah. And as you can imagine, these are shailas that we are asked basically every single day. I was asked a shaila this last night. Somebody comes out of the mikveh, all of a sudden I realized I've got this on my hand and this on my leg and this on my back. Is that a chatzitza? Now, a classic case of chatzitza would be somebody's got an injury on his finger. He's got a bandage round his finger. So everybody appreciates that's a chatzitza. That's a barrier. Chatzitza is a barrier. It prevents the water. By the way, if obviously the bandage is made from material that the water could go through, that's not what we're talking about. But if they are, it's a material that the water is not absorbent. The water will not be able to reach the fingers. So everybody understands that is a chatzitza. And the person has to tovel again. What happens if you have a part of the guf which is about to come off? Classic example, the person toveling has very long nails. This is not the same case as a bandage, because a bandage is a foreign guf on the body, whereas the nails is part of the body. However, the nails have now got to a length where they're about to be cut off. And imagine this particular person says, I never allow my nails to reach a certain length. As far as I'm concerned, it looks awful. And maybe it even hurts. And it's a nuisance. And I always cut them off at a particular length. So maybe this would be back to our Shaila over here. Technically speaking, the nails is attached to the guf. So if it's attached to the guf, it obviously can't be a chatzitza. A chatzitza is a barrier to the guf. This is part of the guf. But if I consider that end of the nail as if it has already been cut off, why? Because that's the plan. Well, then maybe the top of the nail is no longer considered part of the guf. And if that's the case, it's acting as a barrier to the piece of nail underneath. And in fact, this is a Mufurash Sefer Shulchan Aruch. So Mufurash Sefer Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, the discussion would have to go further as well. So what will be with long hair? If somebody has long hair, to the extent that the hair is now a nuisance, or even if not, but aesthetically, I now want to cut it off. So would the end of the hair be considered as if it has already been cut off, and now is a problem of chatzitza? So it's a big halachic discussion. I don't want to get involved in all the halachics, but you just see that you can have a sugya which is talking about the pidyon of hektash and moida b'miktas, and it has absolutely ramifications to tevila in the mikveh, which is halacha ulamaisa. Okay, yeah.
Well, quick question: do we don't have resolution though with respect to whether or not Beis Din should be 3 or 10?
Correct. It's machlokes tanoim, the Gemara said. It's a machlokes.
Machlokes, okay.
Do you consider it cut off? It's metaltal in 3, or is it attached at 10? The answer is it's a machlokes. Alach lemaisa. It's a machlokes. All right. Okay. Yeah. We'll resume tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful and successful day today.
Thank you.
Oh, same to you.